So, parenting. As a failed parent, I can tell you, I think you always feel that you're a failed parent somehow, don't you? I do believe that even with children, or perhaps I should say especially with children, you have to be really careful. You don't want to crush them. You don't want to force them, impose your will on them. Though it's relatively easy to do so, the thing that emerges over a relatively short space of time, again, in my limited experience, is that it's not what you say to them anyway that really touches them. It's what they see you doing. It's how they see you living your life. And it's not that you have to be this amazingly perfect example. I think that what really speaks to children is the simple fact that they know, because they have a very refined instinct for this, they know if their parents are living a life of repentance, if they're seeking to follow the example of Christ, if mom and dad love one another and respect each other and forgive each other from the heart. When they see these things, they recognize them. And I'm not saying, you know, I used to get these questions all the time when I would go on speaking tours, and people would give me these examples of, if your child is in danger of burning himself, or of course you do what you have to do, and that's not an imposition, that's common sense. But I think on the deeper level, it's what we were saying. Children, they have a natural aversion to hypocrites and hypocrisy. And so if they don't see you living or trying to live a Christian life, that's not good. And by the way, you can transfer that to the parish. It's similar, and it has to be similar. I remember a discussion at table at the monastery where one of the fathers said, well, we know that the spiritual state of a parish depends on the sanctity of the priest. So yeah, it's a great responsibility, raising children, your natural children, as it were, and spiritual children, the same. I guess we have to be focused, you know, the prayer of Saint Ephrem, you know, grant me to see my own transgressions and not to judge my brother. These simple things speak very powerfully when we try to live them. It's not thunderclaps and lightning, but it's very powerful, because it's real, and life has many, many challenges, and we fall and we get up again, and we fall and we get up again, as St. John of the Ladder says. But, you know, that forgiveness, that love that overcomes bitterness and bearing grudges and all of those things that prevent us from living a life that is pleasing to God, that speaks volumes when our children see that we are doing that. And the way that we treat them, whether we treat them with respect. And another thing that I feel almost obliged to add is you're entering a phase in your lives now where the church will become the central focus of your life. And you want that to be the case for your children as well. But be careful that you don't overdo it with your children, because they could react negatively. It's not our place to be the religious policeman with our children, to make sure that they're behaving the way that we think they should, in church, outside of church, wherever it may be. Let them learn that by themselves. Let them discover that by, again, seeing your example, the example of others in church, the example of other members of your family. It's not easy. If you're a priest, it's part of the cross. But you have to be gentle. You have to be, forgive me, discerning. And again, it doesn't mean that we don't make mistakes. We make mistakes all the time. But if they are within the context of a life of repentance, it's okay. Then, you know, your children will be exposed to real life. That's life. Life isn't perfect, right? People make mistakes. Dad makes mistakes, you know, sometimes big ones. But with God, there's forgiveness and there's healing. And they'll see that as well. That's what we need to pass on to our children, not sort of force feed them the Orthodox faith. If we're mindful of each person's uniqueness and God-given freedom, we do these things naturally, even without thinking about them and overanalyzing them. We just do them naturally because that's part of the ethos of the church. How many times I could have taught my children something. They could have learned something which I've been teaching for years. But perhaps it wasn't the right time. I'll give you another example. Sometimes my son doesn't want to serve in the altar. I'll say to him once, Father really appreciates it when you help. When you help, it's really appreciated. And you have to leave that person. That's a human being created in the image of God. You have to leave that person to decide not to go, and then to see how it feels. Even with my older children, if they don't want to go to church, I'm not going to force them to go to church. I'm going to leave them so that they learn from experience what the feeling is when you don't go to church. Because we all know that feeling. And then when they go to church, they'll go because they want to go, because they understand that it's good to go. It helps. And the rest of the week is different. Sorry if this sounds very simplistic, but being a member, spiritual family of Father Sofroni, there were no condition. They just loved you. When I was a kid and I joined a Sunday league soccer team, and for weeks on end, I wouldn't go to church because I was in this soccer team. And that phase came to an end. It couldn't continue forever. And sometimes I would feel a little pain when my mom would say, oh, they were asking how you're doing at the monastery, whatever I thought at the time. But something stayed with me. I'll tell you a better story because it's Saint Silouan. He stayed out one night. He was with his friends drinking and dancing, and his father asked him very gently, very peacefully, where were you last night, my son? My heart was, he said something like, there was a pain in my heart. Simeon Silouan told him where he was, but, you know, that stayed with him for the rest of his life. He said, my father was such a fine man. You know, this great saint remembered that. But no disapproval, you know, no judgment. No judgment. Like the father in the parable of the prodigal son, he receives his son. He doesn't judge him. I think the Christian culture is, when we strive to be Christians ourselves, it really is a powerful force. And even though we're so concerned because the world has become so difficult, we wonder how it's possible for our children to grow up in this world and to remain faithful, to remain Christian at all. But with God, all things are possible. So, referring to our children's exposure to science, etc., I think the tension between science and certainly the Christian faith comes from another tradition. I myself never felt that tension. I saw that there were people who would speak very passionately about, for example, to bring it to the realm of theology, something like biblical criticism. I myself never saw anything problematic in that. But I was taught by, well, first of all, I was influenced by Father Sofroni and the monastery. And secondly, I was taught by people who followed the teachings of the fathers. And so there was no tension. People would have some wacky theories about this or that, but it seemed to me that good scholarship was not a problem. Good scholarship, you know. We've been called to be the salt of the earth, and we are in the world. We may not be of the world, but we are in the world, and by the grace of God, He wants us to bring the Orthodox faith so that it becomes part of the fabric of this society. And so people can find healing and comfort and salvation. So these are tensions which really shouldn't be, but we are all on a journey and we come from different kinds of backgrounds, different contexts. But the wonderful thing is that whichever context and whichever background, God is capable of healing and inspiring us. And that's what we're trying to talk about here. We're trying to talk about a balanced way of life so that we don't go to extremes. Everything in life requires a balance, and so too does the spiritual life. We have to have a certain discernment, and we have to understand that discernment comes from humility, and humility comes from practicing obedience. And we cannot have humility unless the Lord Himself, God the Holy Spirit, must teach us Christ-like humility. So it's not easy. Once upon a time, Father Sofroni told me in no uncertain terms that in this life there is nothing more difficult than to be saved. But our God is the God who saves. And so there's hope. And what we're talking about here is the balanced way of life and respect for one another as hypostases, images of Christ. And Christ says, love one another. By this they shall know that ye are my disciples. So, and not easy, no. But another thing that Father Sofroni used to say, nothing in this world is easy, especially something good. Anything you try to do is difficult the way the world is. And you know, the more you're tempted to follow the way of the world, the more the world will slap you in the face. At first, it will encourage you and tempt you and suggest pleasures. But the slap in the face comes, and only that which is good is God and the things of God. And we learn the hard way because we're human beings and we're not used to learning the easy way. So we have to suffer a little bit until we learn how to live. I think that if we learn how to live by the time we die, thanks be to God. Because what does St. John say here? It's a process of detachment. Detaching ourselves from things created and attaching ourselves to things uncreated, namely God. So, parish priest and spiritual father, I think, first of all, parish priest has to be very careful if his parishioners or some of his parishioners are going to a spiritual father outside the parish that is not himself, but they are benefiting spiritually, he has to have the breadth of spirit, the magnanimity of spirit to allow that. There's no jealousy when it comes to spiritual children. It's important that people are following the way of the church and they are inspired to imitate Christ. And I think that this often creates unnecessary tensions when priests become territorial. It's not an easy thing because there are instances where you have to be aware of what your parishioners are doing or not doing. But when you are working together with the brother priests in a godly way, I think that you will have this communion and understanding. But look, spiritual fatherhood is a big word, and sometimes we use it very easily. It's like theologian. Theologian is a big word. Who is a theologian? And who is a spiritual father? Somebody once said, I only became a spiritual father to my people when I began to weep for them. This is a person who was a priest for I don't know how many years up to that point, but certain things happened, and yes, he began to weep for his people. As for his children, then he knew that he was their spiritual father. You know, we don't get stripes in the Orthodox Church. It's not about who's wearing a cross, who has a mitre. It's very difficult because we're influenced by notions of hierarchy which come from outside the church. But there is nothing inherently superior or inferior because a person is or isn't a certain grade of clergy. We love it. We respect our clergy, and we must. We should always have that. But should that respect be any less for others? In other words, do I say, he's clergy, I respect him, and the other person, he's not clergy, I don't have to worry so much about it. I'll respect them up to this point. It's a tricky thing even to talk about because great grace is given to our bishops and to our clergy. We have to understand what St. Porphyrios says. When they said to St. Porphyrios, Father, you seem to be so concerned about your own salvation. Look at all the people you've helped. Look at all the miracles you've performed and how many thousands of people you've helped. You're terrified of your own judgment day? And he said, my child, don't you understand? Christ is the water. I'm just an old tin can that, like an old rusty pipe through which the water passes. But Father, how can you say that you've performed so many miracles? Doesn't it say in the gospel, then shall they come and say, Lord, Lord, did we not perform many miracles in thy name? You know, we have to learn to follow genuine shepherds. What do we have after the Sunday of Orthodoxy? The church places before us a genuine shepherd, one who represents what the Orthodox faith produces, a great saint, a master of the spiritual life, a true shepherd. So if what we do with a humble thought, everything will be fine. The problem is when we don't do it with a humble thought. What do we pray for again every day during Great Lent? Ταπεινοφροσύνη. Humble-mindedness. We need to latch on to a humble thought and we'll be okay. St. Gregory Palamas says, if you have a thought that is troubling you, take it to the cross. Lay it bare before the cross of Christ. And there it will be exposed. And you will see if it's good or if it's bad. Because before the cross of Christ, before the saving passion of the Lord, it will be judged. So there are many tricks, as it were, which the fathers use in order to overcome the wiles of the enemy. Look, even if you are not a spiritual father, if I come to you with the right spiritual disposition, I can make you a spiritual father. If I'm truly desirous to learn the will of God, and I approach my priest, I approach whoever, maybe it's a desperate moment and we need to be informed. Heart needs to be informed. Our mind needs to be illumined. At that moment, if I bring the correct spiritual disposition to that moment, God will reveal. This is, by the way, something that Abba Dorotheus talks about very clearly, that God can reveal to you his will even through the mouth of a child. You know, each one of us has been called to become like Christ. There's nothing greater. There is nothing greater. And so, whether he be a priest, whether he be a layman, male, female, whatever stage of life, when the human being is transformed by the grace of God, this is the glory of God. Isn't that what we saw in St. Irenaeus? The glory of God is a man truly alive. Please subscribe to our channel and share with your friends. Click on the join button below our video and become a friend or reader of the Mount Tabor Academy. Support our drive to introduce the theology and spiritual life of the Orthodox Church to the wider community.